young girl comforts her mother.
Mom, please help me because of the scream because I don't want you to get shielded.
Okay, give me a kiss.
I can keep you safe.
It's okay, I got it, okay? I can't believe they just did that.
I was just tired of safer. I don't want it to be like this anymore.
The pair pray, unaware Castile has died.
Please, Lord, tell us, give us a sign that Phil is okay. Please, Lord, I just need a sign.
I tell God that we need a light.
Black people are dying in a state of emergency. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident. The reason why buildings are burning are not just for our brother George Floyd. They're burning down because people here in Minnesota are saying to people in New York, to people in California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, enough is enough.
Yes.
And we are not responsible for the mental illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government, institutions, and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target. Because Target should be on the streets with us, calling for the justice that our people deserve. Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense,
that's right,
then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay. You are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. Right. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops. Charge the cops. Charge all the cops. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered.
That was Tamika Mallory. Tamika Mallory is the former executive director for Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. She's the former executive director, and the initial audio that you heard when the podcast came on was from a young girl from the Philando Castile situation. Philando Castile was also in Minnesota, and that was from his, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or it was his wife, and I don't know if that was his daughter or her daughter, but collectively, let's just say it was their daughter. And that was audio from when they were his daughter and his partner were in the backseat of the police car. And that was the audio that was recorded from the back of the audio. And there's one more piece of audio that I wanted you to listen to. And this is Beyonce.
We need justice for George Floyd. We all witnessed his murder in broad daylight. We're broken and we're disgusted. We cannot normalize this pain. I'm not only speaking to people of color. If you're white, black, brown, or anything in between, I'm sure you feel hopeless by the racism going on in America right now. No more senseless killings of human beings. No more seeing people of color as less than human. We can no longer look away. George is all of our family and humanity. He's our family because he's a fellow American. There have been too many times that we've seen these violent killings and no consequences. Yes, someone's been charged, but justice is far from being achieved. Please sign the petition and continue to pray for peace, compassion, and healing for our country. Thank you so much.
It's okay, I'm right here with you.
The world is literally on fire right now. That's what it feels like. Mainly the U.S. It feels like mainly the U.S. is on fire right now. And there are multiple states that are protesting, that have some level of protests. And I'm using that word protests specifically because you'll have the media and others claiming that they are riots, but they're not. And I didn't even want to use that word in this episode, but I'll only use it once and that's it. But there are a lot of George Floyd protests in, gosh, at least 20 states right now. And that level of solidarity, and that is just, it's just so great to see. Not the looting, not the thievery, but the protests, the peaceful protests. And all they had to do was arrest 4 disgraced officers. And none of that, all of this, everything that's going on with the curfews and the protests and the looting and the demonstrations, all of that could have been avoided if they would have just arrested 4 men. There are protests in cities like Seattle, obviously Minneapolis, Milwaukee, where I'm from, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Cincinnati, Boston, New York, Richmond, Atlanta, Knoxville, here in Dallas, Austin, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Baltimore, Oakland, Portland, Denver, like Phoenix, I can go on. And these are all protests in solidarity to not only just George Floyd, but to Breonna Taylor and to Ahmaud Arbery and the constant senseless, unprovoked killing of black bodies, black and brown bodies, when with police and police brutality. And it has been I've had to kind of censor what I look at online, or not be online and not log on at all, or not look at anything at all. And if I did, I had to compound that, make a sandwich of that. Okay, if I'm going to look at something horrible online, if I'm going to follow the news, then I have to look at something that brings me peace, or I have to look at something that makes me happy, because I can't just ingest all of this trauma, because this is trauma. All of these things that we are ingesting into our mental psyche is a level of trauma. It's generational trauma that we constantly deal with every day in our black bodies. And I wanted to start the podcast off with that, because this is what I in my black body deal with on a daily basis. And this week I did an episode on brown conversations, and it was a protecting our peace episode, and we spoke to an attorney and we spoke to a mental health expert, and we talked about how we exist in a life in this country with trauma constantly, and how we're dealing with racism, disparity consistently on our backs, generationally, historically, compounded with our normal traumas, you know, losing a job, family members that are sick, and or family members that get on your nerves. And now, in the midst of a pandemic, we have trauma stacked on us, that we have no other demographic has. And we have to find ways to protect our peace, protect our mental health, protect our mental wellness during this pandemic and during this upend of what's going on in this country. These are times I am, how old am I? Late 30s, I'll say that. But I've never, guys, seen anything like this in my lifetime. I've seen protests. We've seen riots. Ferguson is the one that I can immediately think of because I remember it wasn't that long ago, all of the protests with Michael Brown. It was just, this is a different level. Like, this is different. And I won't talk too much about it, but I just wanted, this is Bet on a Black Woman, a podcast about what this Black woman is going through. And this is what I'm going through right now. This is what me and a lot of other Black, Brown people are going through right now. So it would not be honest of me to not talk about it during this podcast, in my podcast at least, because this is my authentic truth. This is what I go through. This is what we go through. This is what I'm feeling, right? And there's just so many things that I want to talk about. And we talked about it a little bit on our Brownversations. We were selective about the topics that we talked about. We talked about, do we actually have the right to carry, concealed carry? Because in Texas here, it's a concealed carry state. But do we actually have that Second Amendment right? Do we actually have the right to bear arms? When you think of Tamir Rice, Marissa Alexander, Marissa was defending herself against her abusive husband. And when she was prosecuted, I just want to put out a note to say that the same prosecutor who dropped the ball against the George Zimmerman case was really firm in her position when it came to prosecuting Marissa Alexander in Florida as well. I want to make, these people are voted in. These people are voted in office. So I want to make the emphasis of pay attention to your local officials and your local voting in your state, in your city, to know that these are the people making decisions about what's going on in your community. And these are the people that are ultimately making decisions about our lives. I got my voter registration mailer a couple days ago, and I'm like, oh, I thought I registered already because I voted in this past primary, and I'm like, I wrote down my updated information per the guy telling me to do it. I did it, but then I get this email saying, hey, you need to update your information. I'm like, I did it already, but I'm gonna do it again per this mailer, because I want to make sure that all my information is intact. So I apologize for digressing a little bit, but I just wanted to make that note that, you guys, I am not okay. #IAmNotOkay. Okay or OKAY. Okay. I'm not okay. We're not okay. Check in your Black friends, check in your Black colleagues. If you are a non-Wakandan or non-Black person, non-person of color listening to this podcast, check on your Black friends. Don't ask them these stupid questions about what's going on. You see what's going on with the rest of us, with Amy Cooper, with Ahmaud Arbery, with George Floyd, you see this, non-whites. And it's a lot on the Black community, it's a lot on me, it's just a lot to take in and a lot to ingest. So we are having to make sure that we are not intaking all of this trauma, because it is traumatic. It is mentally and emotionally exhausting and exasperating. And we, the Black community, have to figure out ways to guard our peace and protect our peace in situations like this. One question that I had to my social network was, do we hold our white our white people in our social networks accountable when it comes to solidarity? Are we expecting or should we be expecting them to at least make some post on their social platforms, you know, if they're going to brunch or if they're with their friends and they're posting TikTok videos? Are we expecting our white social network friends, they may not be real friends, but they're social media they're friends on your social platforms. So let's just use Facebook, for example. I had a white friend post recently on Facebook, and I'll read part of it. Okay, actually, I'll read all of it. He said, quote, "You know, I've stayed quiet to this point, but feel that I really need to get this off my chest. I don't really talk about these things, but I really need to be heard. Star Wars sucks. It's not a good franchise. Two of them have been good, and the rest are same recycled storylines. You're living off of childhood nostalgia and denial. There, I said it. So what else is going on in the world? I miss anything?" When I looked at that, I'm like, So my question to you is, should we be expecting some form of solidarity, or should we be expecting our white social media friends to speak out against this, or speak in solidarity at least? Because if they're silent, it feels like they're complicit. But it also, the devil's advocate in me wants to say, if they don't speak against it, if they don't talk about it, maybe that's just not their thing. They don't have to give a whole speech on social media. But something in my thought, in my mind, I'm like, you had this whole captivated white audience of non-blacks that you could speak to help combat what it is that people like myself and other brown bodies are going through. Your voice, whether you choose to believe it or not, your privilege means something. You saying something to the Karens of the world, to the Amy Coopers of the world, coming from you can speak volumes. So I'm just battling in my mind whether or not I should just remove this person from my social network, because we're obviously not cool if they can't speak to the plight of what's going on with people in my community. So with that, the job search this week, or this past week, has been, guys, it was up and down. So the last time we spoke, I was on Periscope and I talked about how my last interview went really well. I drove far from where I live. And the interview in my mind seemingly went really well. And I listened to the interview over and over just to make sure that I, for my own purposes, I listened to the interview over and over. Yeah. Asterisk that. And I thought it went really well. I try to be very objective about how I talk in my interviews. I'm very receptive to feedback. Another interview that I had this week over the phone, one of their piece of feedbacks was they thought one of my answers or some of my answers sounded a little scripted. I'm like, okay, I'll receive that. Okay, I'll receive it. Another of that same prospective employer's feedback was they thought I was too professional. I wanted to just curse so badly. I probably spoke about this in the last episode, but the fact that they thought that I was too professional and they felt that I was so professional that when everybody got back into the office that I probably wouldn't be able to acclimate. This is just my thought. this is essentially what he said, but essentially how I interpreted it as well. And I'm like, okay. Oh, they also thought that I wouldn't stay there that long. That's another thought that they had. I try not to ruminate on it too much. So another one that I had, so I was a little disappointed by that. And then immediately that same day that I got the rejection, sort of kind of, I got another call from another employer that on a Wednesday, and they wanted me to come in on Friday. I came in on Friday, I interviewed, I thought it went really well. And they turned out to be, you guys, I've been job searching for a minute, and I probably would have taken the job just because. And it seemed like a semi-good fit, but I know deep down it wasn't a good fit, but I would have taken it anyway. I know that's not the right answer. I know it's not. Meaning that why I knew it wasn't a good fit, they didn't know how to like not cut me off when I was talking. They didn't know how to ask me if I had actual questions. They didn't really know how to interview really well. And then also towards the interview, they asked me, I think I said this the last episode, one of the things that they asked me in the, they corresponded with me via text message was, make sure that you wear business casual. And I asked them during the interview, you have to ask people that you're interviewing with to dress business casual. That just seems kind of strange. And he said, have you ever interviewed before? And I said, no. And he was like, well, yeah, we've interviewed with quite a few people and we have to tell them to dress business casual. In my mind, before I even showed up to the interview, I'm like, is this the type of culture and environment that I want to be in where they have to actually tell people to dress professionally? But clearly that's the case and that's the culture. Also, like towards the wrapping up of the interview, I had questions and they were ready to just close it out. And I'm like, I have questions. And I asked all my questions and they were Turkish. And while that shouldn't have anything to do with it, one of the questions that I asked at the end of this interview was, is there anything that I have said during this interview that has given you pause at my ability to do this job? And I'll try to repeat it verbatim. He was like, yes. You did very well. And so essentially he didn't understand the question because the other guy, so he said yes, but he proceeded to tell me all the things that I did well. And then the other guy during the interview, he stopped me at least a handful of times to define things that I said. So one example is I used the word aptitude while we were talking, and he had to stop me and ask me what the word aptitude meant. And he's like, I've been in the U.S. for X amount of years, so my English is still, and I'm like, well, why is that my problem? But then I also said, I didn't say that out loud, but in my mind, I'm like, why is that my problem? But I was also like, you've been in the U.S. for 20 years, and you have to, you still don't get, you don't have a grasp on the English language. And so essentially, they said, okay, we will contact you. We will have a decision by the 29th. I didn't hear anything from them from the 29th. Today is the 31st of May. I sent them a text message. The reason why I text them, because I had been corresponding with them via email, I sent them a text message because that was the communication that we started. So I felt like this was you initiated the communication via text. So I felt the need to continue the communication via text. I may or may not send an email on Monday. Today is Sunday, to just follow up one last time. And also I track my emails. So I know when you open it, I know what time you open it. I've been at this for a minute. So yeah, I may or may not send it, or may not, or may just let it go. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But I did get contacted by another prospect on Sunday. And yeah, we'll see. You guys, I'm trying my hardest. And I am open to feedback. I'm open to criticisms. You know, one interviewer thought my questions were a little bit scripted. I'm like, okay, I receive it. I'll receive it. Another one, like I said prior, thought my answers were a bit too scripted. I'm not scripted, but he thought that I was too professional. I can't change that. I am professional. I am professional. Like, I'm not going to come in sounding like, I'm not going to come in and sound like an uneducated slave. I'm not sorry, actually. I take that back. Also, I was talking to my mother this week, and can I just tell you, people are terrible to other people. People are terrible to people that they love sometimes. They are mean. And my mother pissed me off, where I was just like, I had to pause when she said what she said. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to end this call. Bye. And I just hung up. That may have been disrespectful, but what she said was even more insensitive, and just, it pissed me off so badly. You guys, it pissed me off so badly. And I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking about what I want to disclose to you, what I want to disclose to the world, because it pissed me off really bad. You don't say things like that to someone who is job searching. Family members don't understand other people. Family members don't understand when family members are job searching. I'm not saying that they think that I'm this lazy person who's just sitting on her ass and not doing anything. And while I'm doing freelancing and I'm not sitting on my ass and I'm doing anything, they don't know that I'm freelancing. They don't know what I'm doing, because I'm very discreet about what I share with my family. Very, very discreet. This is my mother's side of the family, not my father's side of the family. My father's side of the family is a little bit different. They're very loving, they're very caring, they're very family oriented, excuse me. My father, not so much, and that's a whole nother story. I haven't spoken to my dad, my father, my biological father, since November 2019. We are in May of 2020. Yeah, that's another episode. I just want to relax, y'all. I just want to be at a place where I can relax from this whole job search, and I'm not at that space. But I'll get there. I watched Lovebirds this weekend with Issa Rae and Nanjiani Camille Nanjiani. I watched The High Note with Tracee Ellis Ross. Was good. I will say The Lovebirds was probably my favorite, because I needed some form of levity, and I needed some form of comic relief. Both were good movies. Before I end this podcast, I just wanted to give you guys a moment of joy. I just want you to reflect on a moment of joy in your life. And the moment of joy that I'd like to often reflect on is when I took a cabin trip to, Egghead, Wisconsin. I forget what part of Wisconsin we went to, but it was a beautiful part of Wisconsin where I took a camping trip with at least 20 of my friends, and it was just amazing. It was beautiful. It was amazing, and I loved it. And I often think about that trip with us and how just amazing it was and how much of a good time we had. It was just a good memory to have. And I wanted to reflect on that. I wanted to reflect on that memory, because you often want to reflect on things that bring you joy and that bring you happiness. And that trip to, is it Eaglehead or Egghead? I forgot. It was some part of Wisconsin that we went to. And it was like at least 20 of us in this cabin. And it was so much fun, you guys. It was a weekend trip. We all pitched in to rent this cabin in Wisconsin. And it was amazing. It was some great memories that were had. It was a good time. I was probably in my late 20s. Egg Harbor. That's what it was. It was Egg Harbor, Wisconsin. See, I was close. And it was a great trip with Renell, Jonica, Chris, Sean, Candace, Marianne. It was a wonderful trip. It was a wonderful camping trip. From the experience of getting there, driving there, from the experience of just being there and getting butt drunk and just being friends in the moment, fireplaces, bonfires. It was just, sometimes when I think about that trip with those guys, which is where I'm from. I'm from Wisconsin, but we drove to Egg Harbor, Wisconsin. I think about that trip to give me a happy moment in my life, because, you know, we're all going through different times in our lives. And I personally am not in a happy moment in my life. And if you've been listening to this podcast, then you know the space that I'm in, and I'm not always in the happiest of moments, and that's okay. That's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is to share with you guys, to kind of journal via podcast what I'm going through as a Black woman who was job searching. And that's where I am right now. And I just wanted to say thank you for listening. I appreciate you tuning in. Please follow me on my social platforms. You can follow me. You can check me out on sabjackson.com. You can also check me out on, Twitter on sab_1908. If you have thoughts on the episode, please email me at betterinablackwoman@gmail.com. And I also want to implore you to please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Rate me on Apple Podcasts. You can listen on other platforms Stitcher. You can listen. Spotify. Sorry. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen on all these other distribution services, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Radio Republic. Please listen to me there. Thank you for tuning in. I love you for still rocking with me. Please share this with your network if you feel inclined to do so. Please continue to stay safe. Wear your masks. If you are out there protesting, keep up the good fight, but also continue to stay safe and wear your masks. My priority, my thoughts are with you and for you to stay safe out there. Okay? I love you. Thank you for tuning in. Talk to you later. Bye.